The next morning we push off, and while no one speaks it, we're all thinking of the next bivouac. It's already mid-afternoon and the sun hangs in the southwest. In our pre-trip planning, we only vaguely determined our second night's campsite locale, somewhere downstream from Raven Run. Now we've crossed that demarcation and have no idea where we'll take out. Just past Hines Creek, level bottomlands opened up, and our solitude is rudely interrupted by gunfire. A group of people are gathered around a barrel fire, and they're taking turns killing a paper target nailed to a tree. They cycle through handguns and semi-automatic rifles with no apparent concern for where their ammunition might ricochet, and, more alarmingly, no apparent concern that five people are paddling by in canoes and kayaks. Fortunately for us, their volleys angle to the southeast in the Madison Palisade, while the river bends us slightly west. We hunker in our boats and cut quick wakes past the small militia along the far side of the river, cringing with each muzzle blast. We enter an acute bend, our paddles groping west and out of rifle range, and let up only when the shooting fades behind us. In another mile, the river bends north, and we group together in a tight pack. Lyle is first to pose a question. These banks don't seem too inviting. Where are we going to camp?
Looks like we've got some level bottom land opening up on the right. Dry bench must be a mile or so up ahead.
Troy responds, glancing down at his navigational charts. The river cliff gives way to a densely wooded bottom, and through the maples, what appears to be a well-kept trail parallels the bank.
Might as well check this out,
he says as he pushes off for a small rock bar to our right. We all follow suit and soon emerge from a small gully onto a level ground. The bottom is broad, so thick with mature sugar maples and tulip poplars that the understory is clear of brush and bramble. We reach the trail and hesitate. It's just all too maintained. Another 50 yards and a spur trail cuts up toward the cliff.
Whoever owns this bottom sure does pamper it.
Just as Gary makes his observation, a dog bolts down an unseen path on the cliff. We catch a glimpse of him, hear the tags on his collar jingling, and then he disappears into the woods.
Guys, I think we're awfully close to someone's house.
Danny stops and stares at the spot where the dog disappeared. Within seconds, we hear the most god-awful volley of barks, yips, and howls, followed by the sound of rustling leaves. And then a wave of dogs, literally dozens of canines of all makes and models, floods down the cliff. Disbelieving, we stand our ground. Behind the dogs, a man and woman descend on the path, their gait purpose-driven, their eyes fixed on what must appear to them a scraggly band of river-born interlopers. We assume postures of the lost and innocent, but by the look of indignation on their faces, they're just unconvinced. Once down, the mongrel horde envelops the pair, and they move toward us in mass, a king and queen born on a litter of feisty curs. The dogs are skeptical too, already catching wind of the lie gathering on our tongues, and growl at the stink of deception.
This is private property. What are you doing here?
The woman asks. She speaks a northern brogue, I'm guessing Michigander. Danny takes the lead.
Oh, we're sorry. We were told of a magnificent palisade around here. What was it called? Lover's Leap?
We all nod in mock affirmation.
Lover's Leap? It's more than 3 miles downstream. This is our property. No magnificent palisades here.
The man pipes in. Both of them seem to lack patience for excuses, and as we face off, they, along with their dog herd, seem to be edging us closer to the bank. Well then, our mistake. We'll just be paddling along, I say as I turn upstream toward the rock bar in our boats. Thanks for the directions. And just as we arrived, we depart, silently, in single file. We drop down over the bank and out of sight, followed only by the lead dog, the one we'd first seen coming down the cliff. He is clearly the alpha of indeterminate cross-pollination, his right eye blonde with cataracts, and he watches us clamber into our boats with his unwaveringly determined left eye, as if to say, I'm on to you, you scurvy moon calves. As we push out to the main channel, we glimpse the couple standing resolute amid the dog pride, all 63 of their good eyes monitoring our progress away from their doggy realm. Gary mutters,
well, that's too bad. That would have made a mighty fine bivouac.
It's probably a blessing in disguise.
Troy consoles,
I bet that ground's peppered with dog shit.
been calling me. It's the bend that's been hiding from me. Calling me, it's a hill that's been hiding from me. Calling me.